you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hello, Doug Mellard.
Hey, Doug Benson.
I woke up today and got myself a gun. No, I woke up and and it wasn't that bad. We just didn't have a guest booked. And, you know, I started, you know, scanning the internet, trying to find somebody. And I didn't. But what I did stumble across is the fun news that today is Keanu Reeves' birthday.
Yeah, it's a good day.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, let's do a pretend, like, let's, you know, do a dry run in case we ever get Keanu on the show. you know, he's got one of the greatest names, you know, so it's a perfect for our show to talk about, are you so special because your name is Keanu?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Good question. Did
being named after Keanu means a cool breeze over the mountains?
Of course it does.
Yeah.
This only makes sense.
So being named that, that's probably why he's such a success, that and his tremendous work ethic. So anyway, let's just, you know, let's have fun with the pretend Keanu episode. Maybe we'll ask Keanu some of the questions that were left over for Steve Agee. And yeah, let's go to work. The man has done it all, from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure to The Matrix to John Wick, and he's not here today. Everybody, let's not say hello to Keanu Reeves.
You forgot to mention Kellogg's commercials.
Was that like one of his early jams?
Yeah, I think that was way early, before anything, really.
Yeah, IMDb doesn't get into commercials generally.
Yeah, it was actually, it is. That's what I thought, but I did see it on his page, which is kind of weird because I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Oh, wait. So what kind of, do you know what the commercial's for?
Yeah, cornflakes, I think.
Oh, because he's it. Because it does, IMDb does list a commercial, but they call it a video short, but I assume it's a commercial because it's called Coca-Cola. Coke is it.
Oh, wow.
And then he's in it. He plays Biker. So, but I don't see anything else that would be a serial commercial. But like I said, IMDb generally doesn't list, people's commercials.
He actually played a young John Wick in the Kellogg's commercial.
Oh, hang on. Pardon me, from several years later, he had already acted in some stuff, you know, he hadn't, Bill and Ted hadn't happened yet, but in 1987, he was in a Kellogg's cornflakes. And again, it says video short. This is an interesting development that they're calling commercials video shorts,
yeah. But
they call him a Kellogg's model. So I guess they covered him in cornflakes.
Yeah. Real weird.
I don't know. He was dressed up as the DNA of a cornflake. He was a DNA model. But yeah, he's been acting in stuff since 1984, which is when my career sort of began as well. So we've really been on parallel tracks. But man, he's got them lined up now. John Wick 4, Matrix 4.
There's a John Wick 5 in the works, it looks like.
Well, that's in, what they call pre-production now. Yeah. So, but I think that might be one of those cases where they decided to shoot the fourth and fifth ones back to back. But then Matrix 4 and DC Super Pets.
Yeah, I couldn't find who he plays in the DC Super Pet world.
Maybe, you know, maybe they're holding their cards close to their chest on that. We're not going to know, you know, maybe they released who the voices are, but not who they're playing. But who knows? I mean, that could be anything. That could be something I would enjoy a great deal or something that is not for me. So, of course, we'd ask him about growing up, Keanu. He was born like in Beirut or some shit.
What?
And yeah. And his mother is like some sort of dancer, performer, model type. And I lost interest in this part of the research when I was looking at what the dad does. But, you know, so he's certainly been a worldly baby and also got into acting as a teenager. When I was first living in Hollywood, because I kind of bounced back and forth when I first moved to LA. I lived in Hollywood for a while, then on the Valley. And, but when I was living in Hollywood, one day I was at Gold's Gym. That's where I had a membership and I'd go in there and pretend to be somebody who works out. I tell you, the pandemic really taught me that working out is, you know, super important if you want to lose weight fast or make certain things look good on you. But just a good diet is really key.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess some people are different, you know, metabolisms and whatnot, but I just feel like if I just don't eat a lot, then I'll be, you know, I'm able to keep my weight down.
Yeah. What sucks is like, I think with everything going on, I tend to like gravitate towards horrible comfort foods.
Right. But just eat less of it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. I actually have gotten a little bit better lately. And I will say it has been nice to just not go to the gym. I used to go religiously and it's pretty nice to just throw that off the calendar and not go.
Right. But it's also, isn't it wild how you haven't really gotten that wildly out of shape by not going?
Yeah. It's, you know, in the same ballpark.
Yeah. Yeah. But, that's what I mean. Like I was just going in there and getting on machines and doing stuff. And it was like, you know, I'm sure it's good for me, but now I walk pretty much everywhere I go and I try to not eat too much. I don't drink too much anymore. So, you know, seems to all be evening out. But, you know, I mean, once gyms are like going again, I'll certainly like, especially when I'm on the road, a hotel gym's great because you kind of have the day free anyway.
Sure.
So you might as well get in there and do a little something. But what were we talking about? Keanu Reeves? So I was
asking. He's a worldly baby, which I've never heard.
No, we were talking about a Gold's Gym story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm sitting there in the locker room, and I don't know what I was doing in the locker room because I don't like gym locker rooms, but it was maybe I had to change for some reason. I was never a person to bring a change of clothes, you know, to the gym. Cause I was never like going there, like during my lunch hour or something like that. I just go back home and take a shower or whatever. So, but I was in the locker room for some reason and Keanu Reeves, who I, you know, had already been in enough stuff that I knew who he was just standing there in his underwear, like his tidy whities. And I'll never forget it because it was on my birthday.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I just, I wasn't that excited to see him in his underwear. I would have rather met
him. Happy birthday to you.
Exactly. But that's exactly what I muttered to myself. Like, wow, happy birthday. But it was more excitement of just seeing Keanu. I wasn't necessarily thrilled that he was, you know, in his underwear. But, And I didn't say anything to him at the time, but then many, many years later, I got the chance to kind of corner him at a film festival and say hello. And he was super nice. But
did you just kick off that conversation with, "I've seen you in your underwear"?
No, no. I started it with, what did I say? I forget, but he indicated that he was familiar with my comedy. So I don't know. You know, how, I don't know how familiar, but it was still nice that Keanu Reeves, at least he acted like he knew who I was.
I feel like Keanu knows all.
Yeah. So yeah.
I totally
do. I do feel like that. That's true. I really do. Now I want to meet, I'd love to run into him again, because we can both run our fingers through our long hair as we speak to each other. So anyway, so we normally ask the guests how it's going, you know, in general. We don't want to necessarily get into, you know, long pandemic conversations, but it's still just nice to do, you know, a wellness update at the beginning. And then we ask them about, you know, growing up with their name. And I just really, I can't overstate this. I don't think that Keanu must have been, that must have been a leg up in life to have such a cool name.
It's one of the cooler. I can only think of one other Keanu. So, I mean, that's pretty.
Well, now people probably, it probably is happening pretty frequently, especially
in
Hawaii and stuff. But
probably a lot of baby Keanu's out there now.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just because it's just such a, like, you know, I think most couples can agree on, like, you know, if it's going to be a boy, you know, what's the coolest boy out there?
Right.
It's got to be him, you know? He's just like so, like, whenever somebody writes up a thing about nice things he does and has done, it's just like, it's just amazing how he's just so saintly.
Is that setting the baby up for failure, though, because of high expectations?
Well, that's the other problem, is that, like, you know, he was had an interesting name and born into a, you know, not a, you know, poor or disenfranchised family. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't, you know, that's the thing, the old nature, nurture.
Yeah.
And also nominative predestination. Was that it? No, nominative determinism. Talked to us by Jeopardy champ Andy Wood a few weeks ago, is basically what our show is about, how, you know, what your name is. Can now, like, early on in his career, one of his first roles was playing a hockey player in the movie Youngblood that starred Rob Lowe and Patrick Swayze. And but his character name in that movie was Heaver.
Huh.
H-E-A-V-E-R. That's an example of, like, if somebody got that nickname, Heaver, that can't work out great for them.
Great hockey name, though.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's the idea. But, you know, I looked through his credits, of course, to see if he's played a Doug in anything. And alas, he is not.
Ooh.
I'd say Ted is probably,
yeah, that's a Jason,
the closest. It's kind of, but Ted's still got something about it, because, you know, Doug is short for Douglas, obviously, but Ted being short for Theodore, I mean, that's a whole nother, you know, that's a whole nother world when you walk through that door, that a person, you know what I mean? Like, that people can call us Doug or Douglas is already strange enough, but that there are people out there that you can look at and decide if you're going to call them Ted or Theodore.
Or Teddy.
Yeah, Teddy. That's an interesting one. But yeah, so that's the only, you know, and he always just plays, like, you know, Matt, Neo, of course.
Yeah.
So he's never portrayed a Doug. So, well, even if we had him on the show, he wouldn't really have any insight into what it's like to be a Doug.
Mostly cool names. I mean, Neo and Johnny Utah are two of the coolest names in film. I actually looked up a top, like, cinematic fictional character name list, assuming Johnny Utah would be top five. I couldn't find it, but Neo was in a lot of those lists.
Yeah, I don't know why you're so excited about Johnny Utah. Have you been to Utah?
No, it just sounds like a cool, cool guy name. Perfect for that film.
Yeah. Did you see how Patton Oswalt, like, you know, he has this big tour coming up, and he and the whoever is setting up the tour with him agreed that audiences should be fully vaccinated, and the only places that, like, he's not going to go to that he had to cancel because they wouldn't agree to those terms are a venue in Salt Lake City and some venues in Florida.
Whoa, Florida, that checks out for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I guess Salt Lake City is kind of weird, but you never know. Like, you can't, like, you know, there's obviously horrible things going down in Texas with the laws there and stuff. And so some people are having a real boycott Texas moment right now. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that 40 to 50%, maybe more, of the people who live in Texas are unhappy with these abortion law changes. And
I'm back here, and I don't know anyone that's happy about it. So,
yeah. So it's like, you know, I'm not going to boycott a place just because, you know, some of the people voted or put people in charge that are terrible. I mean, because it's not everybody. And, you know, I'm hoping that things will change there, but just because of how outraged everybody is.
Yeah, you don't want to punish people that are also outraged about it.
Like, right.
They need the comedy, the, you know, that's the thing.
Yeah, I just, okay. So the people who are not outraged, please don't come to my shows next time I come. Yeah. I only want outrageous people. and that's another fun character he played. It certainly wouldn't fall under the cool characters list, but he was Ortiz the dog boy in the movie his partner from Bill and Ted, Alex Winter, made called Freaked.
Yeah. I haven't seen that since the 90s, so I don't really remember much, but I think I enjoyed it in a weird way.
Yeah, and I just sort of recall them, like, kind of, you know, they probably filmed all the Keanu scenes in a day or something, so they just would cut away to Ortiz the dog boy. Or maybe, I don't know, I don't remember how much he appeared in it. I just remember that I think Bobcat Goldthwait was like the voice of a sock puppet.
Sounds about right.
Right?
Yeah. It's a weird movie.
Do you think that Keanu and Doug Emhoff they have to have met, right?
I mean, I feel like Keanu would be welcome to the White House by any administration ever. You know? So I feel like that's an open invite. There's like a plaque on the wall that said Keanu is welcome or something, you know?
Yeah. Who doesn't want that Keanu cred?
Right.
Like, if he likes you, oh my God.
I feel like what's crazy. Yeah. It's funny to think about someone in the White House wanting to get a picture with someone like that. You know, usually it's you want to get a picture with not all presidents, I'll say, but people go to the White House. It's a big deal to get your picture taken with the president. But in this case, it's a bigger deal to get your picture taken with Keanu.
Yeah. I was on a preteen tour of Washington, D.C., where like they flew a bunch of us kids from the same school. We all flew together to DC, and you know, it's this big racket where they just fly in kids from all over the country and charge them a lot of money and have these weird tours set up. And, you know, you spend most of your time in planes and buses and hotel rooms, but you know, since you're 12 years old, it's all pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And so while I was like 12, no, not 12, maybe 14, when I was 14, I went on a trip to DC, and while I was there, got within spitting distance, only shook hands with one of them, but got really close to Gerald Ford, Henry Kissinger, Alan Alda, and shook hands with then governor or something, Senator Jimmy Carter.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What was Alan Alda doing there?
There's always random celebrities in DC, right. especially ones that are, you know, politically
Yeah.
You know, like he was pretty outspoken politically back in the day. Like this was, you know, obviously around, like around the time of MASH or something. So it was just crazy. It was just like, I, you know, as a little kid, you just don't think you're going to go meet and interact with all these people. But like one day we were having a kid, like a, you know, a lunch somewhere. And we were in a room where they probably had like, you know, groups of kids from other tour groups, but it felt like just us, you know, it just felt like my school. And just out of nowhere, they go, hey, somebody wants to come in and talk to everybody for a few minutes. And Gerald Ford walks in and gives us a speech.
What?
Which I think is just like what presidents do, you know, around DC, like is stuff like that. Like, oh, there's a bunch of kids in that room. I'll go in and like give them a speech. So, yeah. So Gerald Ford spoke to us and I was excited because I, you know, I didn't know Gerald Ford was like, all I knew is that Chevy Chase played him on TV and would fall down all the time. But that still didn't make me not, you know, didn't make me disrespect. You know, I wasn't like, oh, that's that goof that falls down. I was excited that the president came in and talked to us, even though he was such a, it's such a weird thing when like, you know, he's only president just because Nixon stepped down and Gerald Ford had been Nixon's choice for vice president.
Yeah. What if you just gave your class like a speech? Like, yeah, school's for chumps. Drugs are cool. Do you remember anything of what he said?
I don't remember any of the content of it at all. I just remember being like, I passed Henry Kissinger in a hallway, like on my way to or from a bathroom or an elevator or something. And I just remember not being able to get any other kid to give a shit that I just saw Henry Kissinger. And I only knew who he was because he was like one of those guys that he would actually show up on like talk shows and stuff. And I loved late night talk shows when I was a kid. So I only knew him because I, you know, he was just one of those political figures that was, you know, like going on and talking to Johnny Carson. Yeah. All right. This is a question that I asked myself, and I think I warned you that I was going to ask you about it. We're going to take turns. We're going to start. You're going to say your number three favorite Keanu Reeves film of all time. Then I'm going to say my number three, and then two and one, see if any of them match up.
Ooh.
Lots of great stuff to choose from.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Right?
Because the things that he's in, I love, you know, like he's in some really epic movies, but so it was really difficult to figure it out. But so do you want me to go ahead and say number three?
Yeah.
I'm going to go, God, seriously, this is impossible, but I'm going to say John Wick at three. And I love John Wick.
Did you write these down?
Yeah.
Okay, sounded like you were kind of deciding last minute what to.
No, because I'm looking at the list, but it's like I could interchange them, you know. Like,
sure,
I love them so much, but.
But just commit to what you wrote down. Yeah, it's like we're on the new game. We'll see if we match.
All right.
All right. My number three favorite of all the Keanu Reeves movies ever is John Wick 3.
Whoa.
Parabellum.
Almost specifically said three. I just went with one because it's the first and it set everything in motion. But I love all three of those films and I'm excited for four and five.
I mean, it makes sense that they're doing four and five because they call them chapters and that'd be a stupid book if it only had like three or four chapters.
Yeah.
But it kind of gives you there's kind of a spoiler there for the ending of chapter four, as I guess you can't really die if there's a chapter five unless they're gonna go back and show young John Wick and use special effects to de-age him.
Yeah, John Wick in elementary school.
Now I'm kind of wishing I'd gone worst three Keanu Reeves movies because that would be interesting. Because he's been, you know, any great actor is going to be in some stinky movies just because they can't control everything.
Yeah.
All right. What's your number two?
Point Break.
Yeah. I knew you might come in with that one because, of course, it is a classic. And I know you're a fan of the name Johnny Utah.
I rode once, actually, from opening for you. David Huntsberger and I opened for you in Ventura at, I can't think of the club, but like on the harbor.
I think it's called the Ventura Comedy
Club. Yeah. And there's parts along that drive back where Point Break was filmed. And David Huntsberger knows every line, every word of that film. And he just basically did the movie the entire ride back. And it was equally hilarious and made me want to punch him at times. But God, that's how much of an impact I think it made for guys at a certain age. Like, he has it all memorized.
Yeah, I don't know if it's good that it impacted guys of a certain age, because I don't know if there's any positive messages in that movie.
Yeah, I mean, surfing and, you know, presidents robbing banks, though, it's just a fun ride. And one of the best chase scenes of all time.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is like, you know, Catherine Bigelow really... you know, from the start, she's been just such a terrific filmmaker, and you know, only a lady to ever win the Best Director Oscar. Could change this year. There's a lot more movies coming out that are really good that are directed by women.
Was Point Break her first?
No, she did. I think she directed Near Dark before that. Great Bill Paxton vampire movie.
Ooh, I love me some Bill Paxton.
Like, it's vampire Western kind of thing. And it's real stylish. And she also didn't she do Strange Days with Ralph Fiennes and...
Schwarzenegger?
No. He's not in Strange Days. He's probably in several other movies with Days in the title.
Yeah.
I was going to say Angela Bassett, but anyway, my number two, John Wick 2.
I'm seeing a pattern.
Well, maybe. Who knows? You know, I'm a big Toy Story fan.
Yeah.
And he shows up as, you know, Duke Kaboom. What's God, your number one? God.
I forgot. That's another cool name. My number one, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. It was just too influential on me.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's interesting. Like, that's a, you know, that's a solid three, obviously. Those are all huge, huge Keanu Reeves movies. But for me, I find all of his, yeah, most of his movies, there's something I find, you know, flawed about them for my perspective.
Sure.
Like, I get that dudes love Point Break and they love Bill and Ted, but I just really slid. Everything came together perfectly with the Matrix movies.
Yeah.
So that is my number one, is I just think all three of them, so my number one is John Wick 1, merely just because, you know, when John Wick 1 happened, I was just wildly happy. Like, this is the perfect Keanu Reeves movie. He's finally doing exactly what he should be doing. And then 2 and 3 have just, you know, reinforced that, but added such cool things, you know, still not enough to take away from that initial impact of the first John Wick. I couldn't believe how much I was enjoying what at that time was, you know, the 100th action movie that came out in that, you know, 2 or 3 year period.
Yeah.
You know, it was a big genre for a while, and it still is, I guess. But, you know, and now there's so many movies where I'm like, oh, that's so John Wick. You know, that's so John Wick.
Right.
And, you know, the movie Free Guy with Ryan Reynolds is like PG-13, so there's no bloodshed. It's all like, you know, quote unquote video game violence.
Yeah.
But he shoots people in the face constantly, in a very John, you know, John Wick sort of way, like I feel like punch shooting.
Yeah, that's they really upped their game with the Wick franchise, set the bar. But
So what we'd like to do today, for if the listeners will indulge us as they hear this probably over Labor Day weekend, probably enjoying some sort of Mai Tai on a chaise in your garage with a mask on. we've got 5 and 5 questions for Keanu Reeves, and we will take turns asking them and answering them after the break. We'll be right back.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
We're back and we've got 5. Do you write 5, Doug?
I got 5.
I've got 5. You've got 5 on it. I've got 5 on it. For a total of 10 questions for the great Keanu Reeves. How awesome would it be if he listened to this?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
If we could get him, then we can also get Imhoff too. So it's just everybody wins on multiple levels.
Okay. Keanu Reeves, if you're listening to this, please help us get Doug Imhoff on the show. We're not interested in having you on the show, Keanu.
Don't even joke about that.
We want to just jump over you. No, we want Keanu Reeves more than we want Doug Imhoff, to be honest, but, neither one of them needed to hear that. What is your first question? If we got Keanu Reeves on this show, what would you ask him?
Who, be honest, who do you think is nicer, you or Tom Hanks?
Oh, no.
My head just exploded a little bit.
I think he's so nice, he's going to give it to Hanks.
Yeah, that makes
sense. I don't think he could take the title because that wouldn't be the nice guy thing to do.
Right. It'd be real weird if he's just
be
like,
funny.
Oh, me.
What if he just whispered, "Me, I heard he's a dick."
He starts a rumor about gerbils up his butt.
I'll tell you, it just, you know, sometimes depends on who you ask, because you've heard of the biggest feud in Hollywood between Tom Hanks and someone else, right?
Oh, God, yeah. I can't remember what. It was over a film, right?
Yeah, I guess that's what started it, but they've really stuck to their guns. Apparently, Henry Winkler and Tom Hanks are not happy with each other.
And Winkler is also in the category of nice guy.
Right, so it's just a misunderstanding between two nice guys, basically. But I don't know. I don't even know where to side, because Tom Hanks was, you know, Winkler was filming, was directing Turner and Hooch. Tom Hanks was like, "There's too much Hooch. There needs to be more Turner." No, I don't know. I don't know about that. But no, he just didn't like being directed by Henry Winkler for whatever reason. My guess would be that they just both been kind of come up through television, and Tom Hanks was like, you know, now a movie star, and Henry Winkler was kind of a movie star. I don't know. I don't know what went wrong there, but they didn't get along. And I guess Hanks, like, you know, gave a, it's, and again, this is all just, I don't even know where I heard this.
Wow.
So it's all could be completely false, but you know, Hanks gave it him or me. And of course the studio is going to go with Hanks, 'cause he was, you know, he had done Splash and Big. And so he was like becoming a box office draw.
So it's definitively Keanu. He's definitely the nicer one. I don't know.
I forgot. Yeah. That's what we were even talking about.
I don't think I've heard about Keanu getting anybody fired.
No, I feel like he does the opposite. I feel like he gives gifts to people that work hard on the sets of his movies. And, you know, like, I think it's very reciprocal. I think everybody's super into being there. And
I think he like contributes to salaries. I feel like I've heard.
I think so. Yeah.
Added to salaries, which is, that's so cool.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's just, if you just look up nice things that Keanu Reeves does, it's just, the list is stupid.
I gotta say, like, Keanu having, talking about this and Keanu having a birthday, this is what people need to hear right now. Everything's negative. Keanu needs to have a birthday every day.
Right. Well, also, this is going to come out tonight at midnight Pacific time, so no one's going to hear it technically on Keanu's birthday. But that's what we're doing, is we're extending the celebration for people who didn't know it was Keanu's birthday yesterday. Hey, you didn't miss out. You can celebrate now. People who did know, that's 2 days of celebrating Keanu Reeves. And it's never enough.
Never.
Yeah. I mean, he does a lot of his own stunts. Something could happen. So you never know when we're not going to have the great Keanu Reeves with us anymore. So appreciate him now. If you see him walking down the street, you know, yell something nice. You don't have to say a catchphrase from one of his movies.
Yeah.
He's heard those.
they love that.
Yeah. My first question would have been, Keanu Reeves, when you appeared on Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis, he's in the movie version. Who'd you get along with better, Zach Galifianakis or the Ferns?
I think he would for sure say Zach, because he is the nice guy. Feels like,
yeah,
put a human over, you know, or plants over a human. It's not going to come off right, even if you're joking. But I feel like Keanu is also the type that sees plants in a different light and takes care of them in a different way, and has like a million plants around his house and like really takes care of them. And they are like family members or something to him.
Okay, so now you're leaning towards he might get along with the Ferns.
Zach. He would say Zach, but he loves
it. Also, the joke when you're making it Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis is that Zach is being a dick to you.
Yeah.
And in some cases, the guest is a dick right back. So I haven't seen the movie because when I turn on Netflix, it takes too long to happen. But. Can you imagine just giving up on Netflix because it takes so long? But it does take a long time sometimes.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, but that's more of a connectivity issue overall, I think, than...
Well, yeah, it is weird that there are certain apps that just, for whatever reason, take longer. HBO Max, actually, sometimes for us, is like takes...
Right, that's what I saw somebody complaining about recently. I was like, oh, well, you should try Netflix then, you know, because... It just feels like with somebody, it's similar to complaining about an airline. It's like, oh yeah, you think all the other ones are great and perfect? You know, it's just the nature of it. Like right now, all these storms that are going across the country on the East Coast, Hurricane Ida and whatnot. Like, did you see the footage from New York of like the subway filling up with water and shit?
Oh my God, no.
The Comedy Cellar was filling up with water. They like the audience had to get up and leave because the place was going to fill up with water.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
We're living in a Roland Emmerich film or something.
You should say that on a stage and just enjoy the silence.
Jeez.
I don't know if people know Roland Emmerich directed all those, you know, Day After Tomorrow movies.
Every end of the world movie, well, Independence Day, all of them. It's all the same guy.
It's
thing.
the climate change deniers, I can't handle that anymore either.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, there's too much evidence that the weather's going crazy. Well, there's always been hurricanes. There's always been crazy weather. Yeah, okay. they keep measuring these and they keep getting bigger. Like, you know, yeah, hurricanes have always been crazy. There's never been a non-crazy hurricane. Yeah,
I don't remember growing up where every summer, just everything was on fire the whole summer. Over the last few, it feels like.
Yeah, you know, Lake Tahoe being on fire is pretty scary because it's a fucking lake.
Yeah, that's not good.
It's water, yeah. And it's on fire. All right.
Well, happy birthday, Keanu.
Thanks for not being here, Keanu. all right. So you're sticking with Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah.
Who he's going to say he got along with. Okay. What's your second question?
How many people total do you think are killed in the John Wick trilogy?
Oh, I like it. John Wick. I mean, the fact that he's probably going to be very confused in his answer because of the fact that, you know, he's already made part 4 and he's about to do 5.
Well, I guess there's 3.
I mean, just from having seen the 3 films multiple times, I couldn't even tell you if any of them seem to have a higher death count than the others.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like 1 to 2. I feel like there's a jump each movie. Or maybe it's just that they get more creative with how they kill them.
Yeah, and they also, like, you know, towards the end of the second one and then in the third one, they start to imply that, like, you know, every person in New York is an assassin.
Yeah.
But he also doesn't kill all of them. He just runs.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't know. It's I bet you there's somewhere. I bet you there's a website that has all the what they think are the death counts. But also, it'd just be hard to count because sometimes he fights in dark rooms and there's multiple guys coming at him and he boom, boom, boom. You know, like, I guess with each gunshot is a different dead body. But yeah, that's a great question.
I did find a guesstimate, at least according to one website.
I guess meant for each individual movie?
As a whole, all three. The three.
Oh.
There's three. Okay. It says 299.
Okay, so it's probably like somebody just went, it's probably about 100 each movie.
Yeah. I don't know if it's like mapped out as to each death, because, yeah, it seems like it would be difficult.
It's probably like 75, 100, and then, you know, like... 125.
Probably a couple guys that got shot and it looks really grim, but then they had surgery and they're just having a tough life now. But they're still hanging on.
Yeah. Oh, I know. There's definitely some, like, sometimes he just, like, snaps a arm on a guy or something and they're just going to lay there in pain and he can move on, you know?
Yeah.
He only puts them completely down when he knows that they might get back up if he just injures them. Yeah. Here's my second question for Keanu Reeves. Since making Speed, how many times have you been on a bus?
Oh, man. You know what? He seems like the type of guy that would just ride it randomly from time to time to conserve energy.
Yeah. Randomly from time to time, but like
12 times.
How often is there nobody in his life going, what, you're going to go do what? You know what I mean? Cause there's got to always be somebody with him a lot of the time. I'm sure he spends some time alone, but, and then also you're right that maybe like in other countries, he would like, maybe yeah. just take public transport to get to the set or something.
Although you're already Keanu and so visible. And so if you're then on a bus, the speed references you're going to get, that can't be fun.
Right. So that's what I mean, is everybody's going to be talking about driving faster than 55 and all that.
Well, it just doesn't go below 50 miles per hour. Okay, buddy.
I think it would be a great hidden camera show to just have different celebrities show how easily they can move around in public without being bothered by anybody, that you really do have to draw attention to yourself in some way, even if you're a huge movie star, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and sometimes that way you draw attention to yourself is by too much stuff. Like, you know, like a hat and sunglasses and, you know.
Yeah, people that try to look really inconspicuous just stand out.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that, like, I feel like Keanu, if he was wearing a hat, because the hair might give him away, but also he's 6'1", so that's another thing that kind of would be kind of striking. If you were standing next to him, you might, you know, stop and take a second look, just because when you see him in movies and stuff, he doesn't seem to me like he'd be over 6 feet, but he is.
Right. Yeah. That kind of surprised me. But yeah, I guess when I've seen him next to other people, he makes them look kind of like, I guess Alex Winter makes.
Yeah. He's a little bigger. He's question 3.
Wow. This is maybe you actually know the real answer here, but why do you think Will Smith turned down the role of Neo? That's always blown my mind. I just feel like it's a horrible idea, horrible decision. But I'm thankful because I loved Keanu in it.
Yeah, it's not a fun answer, I don't think. But I feel like he chose something else that just ended up not being as big of a deal. You know, he just made a bad choice. And maybe also the other thing may have been offering more money. Or maybe he also like read The Matrix and just didn't like, was just sort of like on paper. Does it just seem like a bunch of gibberish?
Right. If you don't see what the director's like, in their head.
Yeah. I mean, like, somebody shoots at Neo. He leans back almost all the way down to the ground. How's he doing that? We don't know. It's just a script.
Yeah. That's hard to make look cool on paper.
You know, I just don't know. You know, he just maybe didn't see the vision, because also the Wachowskis at that point had done like Bound with Joey Pants and Gina Gershon and Jennifer Tilly. And that's a great movie, but it's not, doesn't make you go, oh, yeah, they should do The Matrix next.
Right. Wonder what he took if that was the case.
I feel like he did like, you know, fucking Hancock or something.
Oh, God.
Or Hitch. Something that begins with an H. But also, it ultimately didn't slow him down that much. And who knows what would have happened with those movies with him in that role. Because also, Keanu, especially at that point, had never played like, you know, I mean, I guess he was a confident action hero in Speed. But like, you know, he's, I guess they're both good at it. Because Will Smith did it in the first Men in Black. The kind of acting kind of confused by everything and not being a perfect cop right away or whatever. Neo takes a while to come around on, you know, what's happening to him, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know how different that movie would have felt. I maybe Jada Pinkett Smith, who knows, she might've been had a bigger role.
Yeah.
Because she ended up in the Matrix trilogy, but she just comes in part 2, right? Or 3?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah. At least one Smith got in there.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask Keanu if he would mind saying that line from Point Break.
Wait, which line?
You know, that line.
That line?
Yeah, just say it.
Point Break line.
Come on, Keanu. What's that line you say in Point Break that, like, if people are imitating you from Point Break, it's what they say?
I'm trying to think of Johnny Utah. The main thing I can think of is not a big quote.
It is it? What is it?
Well, I'm thinking of more Gary Busey quotes than Johnny Utah.
Wow, that's insulting to whoever wrote that movie.
What's a big? Why am I? I'm not. God, this is when I need David Huntsberger yelling Utah words in my head.
Yeah, I think he does yell the line, and I think he's in the rain.
Oh, when he's firing off the gun, he doesn't say anything there.
Yeah, maybe he's not in the rain. I don't know. It's just it's the thing everybody says whenever they're quoting Keanu Reeves.
I don't know how I'm not thinking of this.
Can I take a stab at it?
Once you figure it out, do you want to jump in and finish it?
I'm down to let Ryan get Ryan.
I'll start, and then you jump in and finish it, because you're going to know what it is immediately, and all of this will have been a big waste of time, because you're going to be like, why didn't I just say that?
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
I am N F B I
agent. Yeah. Oh my God. And there's, oh, well, yeah. But yeah, the way he says it too, with the very Keanu cadence.
Yeah, no, I mean, I wasn't really exaggerating. That's pretty much how he says it.
I am an FBI agent.
Yes. You did it.
Oh, man.
It's not as good as Eat Some Leftovers, but you did it. What's your question number four?
Also related to that movie, did Gary Busey's character ever get to eat his meatball subs?
I feel like we need to try to get Gary Busey on the show. You're really he's the focus of Point Break for you. Like he's like, like you should write some sort of sequel for his character from Point Break and pitch it to him.
There's a, that was such a cliffhanger for me when he orders the meatballs. Utah, get me two. And then he runs off, and then there's the big chase scene. We don't ever get to find out if that guy got his meatballs up.
I feel like he didn't.
Yeah, I don't think he did. I don't think he did.
He's too busy shooting Anthony Kiedis in the foot. if that's how that goes down, I don't know. Who shoots him?
Oh, man. It might not have been him. It might have been one of the random FBI agents.
Right. Or one of the people, one of the bank robbers.
Oh, right. Yeah. I think it's when their house gets raided.
Yeah. Well, it's so chaotic when they that chase scene where they're running through a bunch of houses and stuff. Yeah. but Gary Busey in that movie, like, talk about unmotivated character, behaviors. Why is he like on a desk pretending to surf at one point? Because he's excited that Johnny Utah has to go undercover as a surfer.
That's a little bit of a stretch.
He's so weird. Like that's where Gary Busey just stepped up and went, I'm just going to do my Gary Busey thing from now on. You know, like he was untamable at that point, I think.
Yeah. He kind of stepped it up after that.
Yeah. Cause I think he just sort of like did whatever he felt like doing. Cause like some of his lines of dialogue, if a screenwriter wrote that down, I would be shocked.
Right. Like, I feel like Lethal Weapon, pretty fun, cool villain. Not too over the top, just evil. But then, Point Break on. I think you're right.
Well, everybody used to refer to, like, Lethal Weapon was, like, one of those scripts that, like, when nobody was making it, it was considered one of the best, unmade scripts. And then, Richard Donner made the movie. And people still sort of cling to the idea that it's such a great movie. And, when I saw it again recently, I was like, I'm just not that into it anymore. But I always found different things about it to be silly and weird. And the weirdest in that is that it's one of the few movies I can recall. I mean, it happens, but it's just strange that Gary Busey is not the main villain. Like, he's working for somebody else. Yet when the main villain gets dispatched, there's still a fight scene on the lawn at home with Gary Busey where, why is Gary Busey even pursuing? Why isn't Gary Busey just getting the fuck out of town at this point? Why is he showing up and still acting like I got to kill this guy?
Wow.
it doesn't make sense to me, but it's still, the sequence is exciting, I guess. So people don't care. And Gary Busey is truly more interesting, villain in that movie. Cause doesn't he also like take a lighter and hold it up to his hand? Like, pain don't hurt kind of thing. Oh, yeah.
Pain don't hurt.
To borrow a Swayze. Keanu, if you could take one movie that you've done and wipe it from existence, which one would that be?
Ooh, I might have to go. I feel bad saying it, but that movie Freaks we were talking about earlier.
Oh, Freaked?
Freaked, yeah.
I don't think he would be. Why would, he's probably not embarrassed by it.
Yeah, I guess because he's, but it just seems like he was doing his friend a favor. I don't know if he necessarily wanted to be in it, but maybe he liked having the freedom of just being in some weird film.
Yeah, and hanging out with his friend and it's like, and then obviously they were excited to do a third Bill and Ted together. So, they're tight. I wouldn't pick anything from Alex Winter as I'm thinking more like, yeah. Did you ever see Chain Reaction?
No. Yeah. I was going to say that or Johnny Mnemonic maybe.
Yeah. I don't know about, and they're doing a new Constantine, I guess.
Whoa. With Keanu?
I don't know. Now I'm thinking maybe not with Keanu.
Well, I'd actually heard that because DC stuff is so big again and that character can be cool. I did actually hear that Keanu actually really loved playing that character. So I could see it.
Yeah. I think maybe they're trying to get it going again. I mean, he certainly could.
Yeah.
And it could be way better than the first one. It could definitely do with some repairs, but like the filmmakers that, if he brought in the people that have been doing the John Wick movies, then, that would be great.
God, I can't believe Tilda Swinton, wasn't she in that?
In what?
Constantine? No. Oh, am I just getting her? Getting
the
that?
Girl was Rachel Weisz.
Oh, yeah.
I think. Pretty sure. We're up to question 5 already?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. I think we can get him in. We're almost out of time. Oh, we are out of time, but let's do it anyway. When are we ever going to get a chance to ask these Keanu Reeves questions?
If you could really get into a phone booth and time travel, who would you kidnap?
Well, definitely not Napoleon, because he's a dick.
Yeah. Sure loves ice cream, though.
There's so many people, but I maybe he would want to, go through time with Bruce Lee or some martial arts person that he admires.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's super into those. Like, he's really made several movies where he's in there doing some real martial arts. Like, he trains hard for these things.
Yeah, I could see that, or some sort of guru or musician that influenced him. I forgot he was in a band, right?
What's that?
Didn't he have a band, or he did at one point?
I think that seems like something he could do. It seems like he would have enough talent for that.
Yeah.
So my fifth question, because we are out of time, but my fifth question is, Crocs, would you ever?
Oh, no. I want to say no, but if anyone could pull it off, it's that guy.
That's the thing. He's a complete win-win, because he could just be like, no, thank you. And you'd go, yeah, of course, he doesn't like Crocs. But if he was like, yeah, I'll rock a Croc, then
you and I start like, thinking about it. In the Croc.
I have the ugliest Crocs ever. I'm thinking about bedazzling them because they're so ugly that I want to like take it up a notch and make them really ugly or pretty ugly, But right now they're just this weird kind of like turd color, and I just wear them to go to the pool because I don't want to get, I don't want my feet to get hot on the cement.
shit colored Crocs.
Yeah. I don't wear them out in public really, but they're just, I don't know. I guess, some people do it, but to me, they're just like more like, you know, beach or pool wear, you know?
Yeah. I'm not doing it in public for sure.
Oh, but like with socks on, socks and Crocs, what the fuck are they doing?
But seriously, if Keanu started wearing them, I'd be like, okay, maybe they are cool.
Yeah. It would totally turn me around. But I feel like even for his purposes, like, you know, he's got to be able to kick a dude in the face in a moment's notice.
Yeah.
And they're not fighting shoes at all.
No.
You know, they're just bigger, more complicated sandals.
Yeah, you don't want to be in an emergency situation of any kind while you're wearing Crocs.
So we ran out of time for, you know, us to do Steve Agee's leftovers. So we'll ask our next guest next week, if I can get my shit together and book somebody, we'll ask that person Steve Agee's questions. And then, with any luck at all, we'll get to 5 and 5 with that guest. And we'll get this thing back on track. Doug plugs. I'm going to be doing stand-up at Zany's in Chicago on Monday, September 13th, and lots of other dates are coming and going, adding and postponing at DougLovesMovies.com. Doug Mellard, what do you got to promote?
I've got a new album that drops at midnight called I'm Worried About Me. It's about my weird quarantine time in Santa Fe, a lot of bizarre stories. So yeah, that drops at midnight, and it's available everywhere. And there's a video portion on Vimeo you can also purchase. It's got some bonus cool stuff on it. So check that out. I'm Worried About Me. And then also I will be in Philadelphia at Punchline with Dan Cummins next week, September 9th through the 11th. So come on out, Philly.
Yeah, go see Doug in Philly and then come see me in Philly on Thursday, October 21st. This is brand new. I'm doing a stand-up show at like happy hour time at like 6 o'clock on Thursday, the 21st at Helium in Philly. And I've done a couple of these before, and it's just kind of a fun, weird ass time of day to do a show. So I hope people come by and have a good time.
Yeah.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And I think, Doug, you'll like the title I came up with for today's show. As always, Doug and Doug's Bogus Journey.
Got it.